So it was some 3 weeks ago that I started on this new avenue of prayer, but I missed 3 weeks with the picnic and us being absent and so forth. So if you would allow me, I want to just go back and review where I started with 3 weeks ago so that we have some continuity in our study. Would that be all right with you? I tell you that my thoughts on prayer have just completely changed, and I am very excited about it. And I have seen things happen since the Holy Spirit's dropped this into my heart, and I have a real desire to be able to convey that to you today. Maybe just the tip of the iceberg to you today, if I can. Because it's a major issue. Prayer is everything. But before we do that, I want to tell you about a king of Corinth named Sisyphus. You notice the topic of our sermon today is Sisyphean prayer. And you're all wondering, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, I was a bit of a mythology nut for a while in my early days at school, and took several courses in Greek mythology. And at any rate, there's a story in Greek mythology about an evil king of Corinth, and his name was Sisyphus. And he cheated death twice. And he and Zeus were at odds. Zeus tried to take him out, and Sisyphus cheated death two times, got ahead of Zeus. This is all mythology now. You all understand that. But the third time, Sisyphus, and he was an evil king, Sisyphus wasn't able to cheat death, and Zeus, so angry at him for having cheated him those other two times, consigned him to go to Hades. So Sisyphus is down in Hades. And Zeus gives him a task. The entire time you're in Hades, he gave him this huge boulder, and Sisyphus, for all eternity, was to push this boulder up this huge mountain, inch by inch, pushing this boulder up the mountain. And the problem was, when he just got to the top of the mountain, every time, the goal was to get it over the top of the mountain, every time Sisyphus got just about to the top of the mountain, he would wear out, he would get tired, and the boulder would roll all the way down to the bottom of the mountain, and he would go down, and Sisyphus would start pushing that boulder back up the hill again. Do you pray that way? What's your boulder? What's your issue? What's your burden? Sisyphean prayer is where you feel you must, with your concentrated prayer, take your boulder and push it up the mountain. And that's the job of prayer. And that's your job. And it's exhausting. I will tell you, it's exhausting to think of prayer that way, that you are Sisyphus, and you have this burden, you have this boulder, and you are consigned to ever and always, through prayer, push that boulder up the mountain until you get to the top of the mountain. And eventually, if you do it enough, and if you're diligent enough, your boulder is going to roll down the other side of that mountain. You know, I used to think that way. How depressing is your praying? What? If you look at prayer as a time to go into your room, shut the door, and the whole time you're in there, you're thinking about your burdens. You're thinking about your boulders. You're thinking about your problems. And you spend that time in prayer, concentrating on nothing other than everything that's wrong in your life. Well, How do you feel after that? When you do that and you come out of your prayer closet and you've done nothing but concentrate on the things that are wrong in your life, well, I tell you what, I don't think I feel that good after that. I don't think that that is encouraging to me. I don't think concentrating on everything that's wrong in my life is a way to start my day. And I'll tell you what else, Jesus doesn't think we should do that either. Prayer has been relegated, I'm afraid, in the church and in Christian thought to just that sort of thing, that prayer is meant to just bring our petitions, our problems to God, spend our time concentrating, pushing that boulder up the hill, and then leaving the prayer closet. Jesus didn't say that, did he? Because they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, how should we pray? And he says, don't babble like the idolaters who think they're going to be heard because they use a lot of words. And he said, besides that, and here's the money phrase. He said, besides that, your Heavenly Father already knows the things that you need even before you ask him. God is well aware of your boulder and my boulder. He's well aware of our problems. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is not just, I think this can help you. Prayer is not just telling God all of the things that are wrong. Prayer is not just coming to God with a list of things, your boulders, your issues, your burdens, and you rehearse those and rehearse those. Do you have trouble praying? Do you have trouble? Do you look forward to praying, or is it a burden? That's the litmus test for you. You want to know if you have Sisyphean prayer or not? Is prayer something you look forward to, or is prayer something you say, I better go do that, because if I don't, that boulder's not going to get pushed up the mountain, so I got to go into my closet, I've got to rehearse these things, I've got to go over everything that's wrong in my life, and I've got to then go and start my day. Is that your concept of prayer? Is it hard for you to pray? Is it hard for you to set aside time to pray? Let me tell you what the Bible says about prayer, what Scripture says, and what Jesus says about prayer. They know nothing of that kind of prayer. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is listening to God. Prayer is going with your Scripture, reading your Bible, letting the Holy Spirit talk to you. You talk to God. Of course, there's a time in prayer where we give our petitions. Paul says that. Paul divides prayer into this. He says in Philippians, he says, you pray, you give petitions, and then you also give gratitude. He says, see, petitions, your boulder, is just a subset of prayer. Please understand this. I think it can be really life-changing for you. Petitions are just part of prayer. There's another part of prayer, and that is communication with God. And there's another part of prayer, and that is in being grateful to God. Talking back to God about, hey, how about this? Hey, try this on. Why don't you talk to God about what's right in your life instead of everything that's wrong in your life? Because when I do that, and I'll bet you when you do that, you leave that prayer closet exhausted because you're pushing your boulder. This has been really revolutionary in my study, because I'll tell you honestly, the discipline of prayer as I had conceived prayer to be up to this point was a bit of a struggle for me. A bit of a struggle for me to set aside time. Okay, now I'm going to go and I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to tell God everything that's wrong, and I'm going to go over the prayer list that I have here in church today, and then I'm going to get up. And you know what's wrong with that kind of prayer? In a word, it's boring. But when I understood prayer to be a communication with God, I look at it as any other communication that I have with other people, and that is we talk, we listen, we share. I open up his word. I sit and I meditate. And I'm sitting on the front porch with Teresa and I'm staring off into the sky with my Bible in my lap. And she says, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm listening. I'm meditating on what God just opened up to me in Scripture. How much more energizing is that? Stop doing. I'm encouraging you. Stop Sisyphean praying. It is not your job to move the boulder up the hill, because that's impossible. It is not your job to, through mental toughness, Pray so that that boulder moves inch by inch up the mountain. And when you get exhausted, it rolls right back down to the bottom of the mountain. Has that been your experience? It's been mine. Well, what is our job? What about the boulder? Because I've got them. I bet you've got them. You want them moved. You want them to get up the top of the mountain and roll down. Well, what do we do? How do we do that? Well, let me tell you a little story about this that Jesus told about this. I'm going to read something to you out of John. Jesus had just fed the multitude with the bread and the fish. And they come looking the next day for Jesus because they saw boulders moved. They saw hunger satiated. And they were very much attracted to that. So they come to Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" I'm reading from John 6. Jesus answered, "I assure you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Verse 27, "Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life." Which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. Now, here it comes. What can we do to perform the works of God, they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." What? That's the work that I'm to do? Yes, Jesus said yes. In other words, they're saying, "Jesus, how do we get the boulders moved up the hill in our life? We know we don't want to plug into that because we saw that happen. We saw you do some pretty miraculous things, and we'd like to get a hold of that power so that we can use that power. And so what do we do? What is the technique in prayer?" You've heard that too, right? Techniques in prayer. You've seen the books too, haven't you? Techniques in prayer. So they're saying to him, "Jesus, what is the technique that we can use in prayer so that we can move those boulders?" And Jesus says something back simple and yet startling and profound. He says, "Let me tell you what your work is. This is the work of God, that you simply believe in the one that he sent." Simply believe in the one that he sent. I am convinced from my study of prayer and from the Holy Spirit's teaching that the primary function of prayer is to put us in touch with the horizons of the kingdom of God and liberates us from the enemy's tool of keeping you strapped to your boulder. Did everybody get that? Because there's a lot there. Have you thought of prayer that way? Say it again. I am convinced that the primary function of prayer, and remember, when you say prayer, parentheses, communication with God, the primary function of prayer is to get us in touch with the horizons of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we get plugged into another reality. We get plugged into another world. And when we do that, it liberates us from the enemy's game. Yes, the enemy's game to keep you thinking that it is your job through prayer to move the boulder up the hill, because that's impossible. Jesus didn't say that's our job. Jesus says, your job is to believe in the one that God sent. You do that. Put your energy into that. That is how we pray. That is how we communicate with God. Because when I read Scripture, it draws me up into the personage, the character, and the identity of Jesus of Nazareth, the one. And when that is confirmed in my life, through my communication with God, through Scripture reading, I'm praying. I'm believing in him. My faith in him grows. Now hold on before you run screaming for the exit. Hold on. Let's do another example. Let's look at the back of your devotional. On the back of your devotional there, you see the top verse. What's the problem with that, Tim? So what? I want to stay tied to my boulder. I just can't let go. And I don't know that I trust God to really deal with this. Is that your thinking? Look at the John 8:23-24. This, again, we did this 3 weeks ago. I want to review. Jesus said, you're tied down to the mundane. You're tied down to your boulder. I'm in touch with what is beyond your horizons. That's what communication with God does. Have you ever experienced that? Isn't it wonderful? When you spiritually and mentally, emotionally, you get unattached to the mundane and to the boulders in your life, and you go into this other reality. You go in and plug into the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And here's Jesus saying, you live in terms of what you see and touch. That is so profound. Listen, God's people. We have something here that the world marvels at, and the world claws for, and the world tries to get through every other avenue. We have something here. I'm living on other terms. I told you that you're missing God in all of this. You're at a dead end. Watch this. You're at a dead end if what? What's he say next? If you won't believe I am who I say I am. If you won't believe that, again, echoing what he said in John chapter 6, do you have a visceral, spirit-given belief that Jesus of Nazareth is exactly who he said that he was? Because if you do, then what comes with that? We take him exactly at his word. We believe what he said. If you won't believe I am who I say I am, you're at the dead end of sins. You're missing God in your lives. You see, you can live a defeated life as God's person. You can be saved. You can have salvation. And you can live a defeated life tied to the mundane, tied to the boulders, concentrating on the boulders, taking into your prayer closet all of your problems, all of your issues, and talking about that with God over and over and over. And if you do that, you are living and tied down to the mundane. And what does Jesus say? If you do that, what happens? You miss God in your life. You're going to miss God in that situation. You're at the dead end of your sins. You're living like a non-believer. You're living like one who does not have hope. You see, for people that are not Christians, for the non-believer, there are no heavenly truths for them. They just have the boulder. There are no heavenly truths behind their earthly facts. For God's people, our earthly facts, what you look at as the boulder, what you look at as the burden in your life, what you look at as the problem in your life, that earthly fact has behind it a heavenly truth. And prayer allows us to plug into the heavenly truth behind your earthly fact. And if you don't do that, you are going to live a defeated life. You're living just like those who do not have God. And your experience is limited to the earthly facts in your life, and those facts remain unchallenged. Now, that was kind of confusing, wasn't it? Let me clarify it. And we're going to do that by looking at Lazarus and Jesus and Martha. And I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 11. Would you turn there, please? Three things here. Jesus hears that Lazarus is dead. He hears that Lazarus is sick. And he says immediately, instead of the earthly fact of that, Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God. What a great way to live. What a great attitude when you hear something, your own particular Lazarus, when it comes to you, instead of thinking the negative, instead of going there in your mind, instead of missing God in that, instead of living and tied down to the mundane of that, how would it be when you hear something like that to actually think and say, this is going to end for the glory of God? But that's exactly what Jesus does. And then he and Martha have an interesting exchange. Put yourself, and I'm going to put myself in the role of Martha here. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. There's an earthly fact. Lazarus is dead. Earthly fact. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus says, your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus says back to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this? What's the earthly fact there? Lazarus is dead. What's the earthly fact of your problem? Because it's staring you right in the face. The boulder is there. You have an issue. And it seems like that's never going to change. It seems like that earthly fact is going to control you and have sway over you, and you have to push that boulder with your prayer. And here's Jesus who looks at an earthly fact of Lazarus being dead, and he tells them something. And there's something about your earthly fact. There's a heavenly truth behind that. There's something behind your earthly fact. And Jesus says, the earthly fact here is that, or the heavenly truth here, Martha, is that your brother is already alive. Your brother is already resurrected. Your brother is already there. Your problem, whatever it is, whatever your earthly fact is that drives you to prayer, has already been dealt with. Your earthly fact of your problem is already fixed. There's a heavenly truth behind your earthly fact. There was a heavenly truth behind the fact that Lazarus was dead, and the heavenly truth was he is presently alive. The heavenly truth behind your problem is it's already been fixed. It's already been dealt with. Well, how do we plug into that? Jesus says to Martha, there's one thing that you need to do, Martha. You need to, what's he say? He says, Martha, do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. What is your focus? What does Jesus say should be the focus in John 8, tied down to the mundane? Your focus is who he is. What does Jesus say to Martha? What should be your focus? Your focus is who he is. End of the story here. Jesus comes to the tomb, and Martha argues with him a little bit, says it's already been 4 days, it's too late, Jesus, it's a hopeless fact, my earthly fact is going to control me for the rest of my life. Listen, stop allowing your earthly facts to control you. Stop allowing that to define who you are. Plug into the heavenly truth behind your earthly fact, and that plugging in, the way that is done is through prayer, is through concentration on God, concentration on who Jesus is. Stop going into your closet and rehearsing everything about your earthly fact that is wrong. Yes, go into your closet and instead concentrate on God. Concentrate on Scripture. Concentrate on who Jesus is. Concentrate on the promises of Scripture, and something wonderful will occur for you. And Jesus even says that to Martha at the end here. Jesus says, "Didn't I tell you, Martha, that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" What is your work and what is my work? What do we have to do in prayer? How do we move those boulders? Well, what about my boulder, you say? If I don't come to God with that, and if I don't continually push that boulder up the hill, and it's exhausting, and it never ends, and I'm continually rehearsing this thing, and I leave prayer kind of exhausted, and I don't really feel peace, and I find it hard to even go to prayer because I'm having a pretty good day. And I'm not sure that I really want to go over all of these things in my life that are bad. But if I don't, I'm not sure that God is going to plug in. Instead of that, what about my boulder? Well, Jesus says this is about your boulder. He says to Martha, in fact, let's take Jesus at his word. Jesus says this about your problem. Jesus says this about my problem and about your boulder. He simply says, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" What is the glory of God? For your problem and for my problem, the glory of God is when the heavenly truth invades your earthly fact and overwhelms it. Do you want to see the glory of God? What's our job? What do we do? What's your focus? What do you focus on? You focus on him. You focus on Scripture. You focus on Jesus. You focus on who he is and what he said. And I have decided in my own life to do something. And it sounds simple, but yet it is very profound. I have decided to do something. I'm going to take Jesus exactly at his word. I'm going to listen to him. And when he says to Martha, "Didn't I tell you that if you simply believe that you would see the glory of God?" Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You want to deal with that boulder? It's not your job to deal with the boulder. Your job is to do exactly what Jesus said here. Jesus said that if you believe him and take him at his word, he'll deal with the boulder. How wonderful is that? How freeing is that? Stop trying to push that boulder up the hill with your praying, because it doesn't work. That is not your position. It is simply that we believe in him. It's simply that we focus on him. And then you will find something out. You're going to turn around and you're going to say, that boulder doesn't matter. You're going to turn around and you're going to say, God is handling that boulder. You're going to turn around and you're going to see the heavenly truth behind the earthly fact of your burden and your boulder that you're trying to push around all day long. The heavenly truth of your particular problem will invade that earthly fact, and the earthly fact will ever and always yield the floor to the heavenly truth. If you do not pray this way, if you are stuck doing Sisyphean prayer, if you find prayer to be a burden, if you find prayer to be a little depressing, if you find prayer to not be effective, there's a good reason for that. Jesus says, your job, my job, is to focus on him. And you will find that the symptoms, I'm in healthcare, I'm a physician. You're treating the symptoms with your praying. I think this will make better sense. You're using your praying to treat symptoms. Use your praying to get to the cause of the symptom. And the cause of the symptom in my life, ever and always, I find, has always been, I lose my focus on him. Focus on him, and what you will find is the symptoms of your boulder will go away. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's good. Because treating symptoms is exhausting. Treating symptoms is temporary. Treating the symptoms with prayer is no less exhausting and no less temporary. Focus on God. Put your attention. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to stand upon his promise, and just to say, thus saith the Lord. Simple, wonderful, beautiful. Let's take Jesus at his word. Didn't I tell you, Martha? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you, Tim? That if you just believe, what? It can't be that easy. Jesus, I got to have more to do than that. It can't be that. I have to have a part here. Didn't I tell you, Tim, that if you just believe that I am who I say I am, if you just believe my words, that you will see the glory of God? Let me tell you, pushing a boulder around is not the glory of God. Pushing a boulder around is anything but the glory of God and anything but peace. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. Pushing boulders up mountains is not peace. Can it be that simple? Can it be that I simply focus on God? I focus on my communication with him. I focus on scripture reading. And by the way, here's a little encouragement, maybe, or maybe a little reprimand. Maybe it's a one-minute reprimand for you. How much time have you spent in scripture this week? How much time have you spent concentrating on him versus concentrating on your boulder? And then you're surprised that the boulder holds sway in your life? Because you're confronted with an impossible situation. If you think you're going to change things, you're going to move that boulder by your will and your praying. You are going to change things when you trust him. And he will then go behind that, and he'll take care of that boulder for you. Wonderful. How much time have you spent in scripture this week? It's an encouragement. Don't look at that as a reprimand. I want to encourage you, because I have found that to be eminently helpful, eminently true, and I personally cannot go a day without it. Let's take Jesus at his word. How novel. Forget the techniques. Forget the self-help books. Forget the books on prayer. We've complicated it so much because I think prayer is so misunderstood. Let's focus on him. Let's believe him, and let's communicate with God. And you turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I think that sums it up perfectly. I'm excited about this topic. It is life-changing. And we're going to go on and through this over the next few weeks. And I promise you that if you plug in, I promise you, if you plug in, if you follow, if you keep an open mind on this, that it can be life-changing for you. And those boulders that you're pushing around will go strangely dim. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless these words with your anointing spirit. Amen.